Well, this morning we are continuing a sermon series that will go for 3 weeks. It's titled, On Your Heart. So what is on your heart? So I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 20. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, Explain this parable to us. Then he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. In a previous youth group years ago, I was having problems with some of the youth using very foul language. So whenever I heard them swear, I would tell them to stop. But that really had no impact. They kept using those words. Finally, I instituted the potty mouth can. I told the group, every time you use a curse word, you must put a dollar in the can. And when we have enough money, we're going to buy pizza and have a pizza party for the whole youth group. It was amazing how quickly they modified their language. They did not want to give up their money. We all probably have memories of behavior modification. There are certain things we don't do because of the consequences. We've learned what not to say. We've learned what to say to get through school. We've learned what to say to get a job. We've learned what to say to keep our job. We've learned what to say to get a date. We've learned what to say to keep a relationship going. We have overall learned what to say to make life work. But then one day, we say something and a relationship is devastated. We say some words we shouldn't have said and we lose a job. You see, we learn to have a filter over our mouth so we can live and work. We learn to monitor our behavior. And if we don't have a filter, guess what? People get offended by things we say. In today's Christian women's magazine, Ramona Tucker writes about her friend Michelle, who admitted that she and her coworker Sharon were stopping in a restaurant restroom to fix their makeup before returning to their jobs. And their small talk turned into a subject about a person who drove them crazy. Immediately, Michelle launched into a 2-minute complaint about Beth, a mutual coworker. As Michelle prepared to divulge more specifics, a stall door opened. Out walked Beth, red-faced and angry. In that split second, which had seemed like a pressure relief session, it turned into an awkward mess. Michelle and Bess stared at each other in embarrassed panic. Michelle knew she couldn't take her words back. And in the instant their eyes met, Beth fled out the door. That afternoon, Beth didn't return to work. The next day, Michelle heard through the grapevine that Beth had resigned. While other staff members kind of openly cheered what seemed to be good news to them, Michelle felt miserable. She wished she'd talked to Beth rather than talking about Beth. Although that situation happened 5 years earlier, Michelle'd never forgotten it. She tried several times to reach out to Beth via phone. She wrote a letter, but no response. What's worse is Michelle is a Christian, and Beth, to her knowledge, is not. Sometimes you say something that doesn't seem like you. Where did that come from? It's kind of as if that filter had a hole in it. So what do? You patch up the hole. You think, I'm never going to say that sort of stuff ever again. Sometimes somebody will say, he is not the man I married. When we dated, he was this. But now that we got married, he's this. He changed overnight. I don't know who this guy is. It's like two different people. He used to say all the right things. What happened? It's easy, isn't it? The filter came off. The Pharisees were fixated with following the laws of Moses. They were very strict about whatever they put in their mouth. They didn't eat pork, they didn't eat shellfish, they obeyed all the kosher food laws. But Jesus comes along and says their behavior modification is not enough. It's not really what's important. Jesus said, but what comes out from the mouth proceeds from the heart. What comes out from the mouth shows what's in the heart. So we have to learn to listen to those things we say. Because what lives quietly in our heart will eventually be heard in our words. And yet, some of those words are going to slip past any filter we might have. Some of us know that in a marriage, sometimes that filter gets thinner. You ever notice that? Now, I do need to point out that when Jesus refers to the heart, he's talking about the soul. He's not talking about that physical muscle that pumps blood throughout our body. He's talking about our soul. What comes out of our soul? Some of you will remember El Cap, creator of the famous comic strip Little Abner. Once Al Cap was invited to a university to speak and lecture before an audience. Before he began speaking to the large group assembled there in the auditorium, a very unkempt-looking student was in the very back and shouted a vulgar word at him. The word just kind of rang in everybody's ears. There was a shocked silence, but Cap kept his composure and said, "Now that you've given us your name, what's your question?" You know, when Al Cap said that, he was speaking the truth. That young man, with that word, stated who he was inside by what came out of his mouth. That word came from his soul. Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts. You know, we think our thoughts come from our brain. But Jesus would say, no, those things come from your soul. When you have evil thoughts, it is because there is evil in your soul. You may have a very sophisticated filter, but evil might lurk underneath. I mean, Jesus even names some of the things that might be underneath. Jesus said, you know, murder, it can come from the heart. Adultery can come from the heart. Lust, sexual immorality, theft, lying, gossip. We shouldn't say those hurtful things. But we'll filter, that's what we usually say, we're going to filter what's in our heart. But Jesus says, no. We need to change our heart. So do you want a test to find out what's in your heart and soul? Ask yourself this question. What would you do if you knew there would be absolutely no consequences? What would you do if you knew there would be absolutely no consequences? And if you could do something and you could get away with it? If you removed all filters, what would you do or say? Michelle Davis of Florida was visiting Las Vegas with her husband. They saw a group of thuggish-looking teenagers standing outside their hotel. And these young people seemed to be bothering the tourists. Michelle became very nervous when she saw their spiked hair, their chains, their black clothes, and their various pierced body parts. But as she and her husband got closer, Michelle noticed they were laughing and joking with the crowd. It was then that she saw a homemade sign at their feet. It said, take a picture with us for $3. Originally, Michelle thought that this thuggish-looking group, that their soul was filled with bad intentions. But once she saw their sign, she realized the group's heart was in a far different place. They were seeking to earn some money, making sure that tourists to Las Vegas would have a great time taking a funny picture with a creative group. Those words came from the group's soul. And that made a huge difference. Life comes from our heart. So we need to guard our heart. Guard that intangible part of our life. Honestly, in many ways, we're not taught to do this. We're taught to behave. We're taught to be good. We're taught to filter our words. We're taught what to say and what to do. But we need to become self-aware. What is going on in our soul? What is here that shouldn't be here? What comes out of my mouth that indicates that there's something off here? How will I guard my heart? You know, the truth is, you may not notice that you have heart issues. We may not think we have a heart problem or a soul problem. You might even find yourself pushing back on what I'm talking about today. You might find yourself becoming defensive. It's a lot easier to notice other people's hearts. You ever notice that? We can clearly see it in others. You might have even said sometimes, something's wrong. and they're unaware something's wrong. Maybe you tried to ask about it, and what happened? They got defensive. They may have shut you out. You probably know people with a heart issue, and you may have even watched them blame it on others. The more damaged and wounded one's heart is, the more difficult it is to see it. So if you want to find out where your heart is, why not ask your family and your close friends? Why not ask them to give you feedback? Ask them to listen to what you say, to watch what you do, and tell you their honest opinion. And ask them, how do you perceive the health of my soul? How is my heart? Maybe you could establish a code word. You know, if you hear me say something, just say this code word and I'll think about what I've just said. Probably the more healthy your soul is, the more willing you will be to do it. But probably the more unhealthy your soul is, the more reluctant you will be to open yourself up like that. Maybe we think our Christianity is about behavior. It's not about that. Jesus thinks it's about the condition of our soul. So let me ask you some questions. Is everything okay with your heart? Your soul? Are you mad at anybody? Are you waiting for somebody to come to you to make it right? Do things come out of your mouth regularly that you have to apologize for? Do you celebrate somebody's failure? Are there any secrets just gnawing away at you? Anything that you hope nobody discovers? Have you lied to somebody who you really love? If you'd answered yes to any of those, it's probably not okay with your soul. A little girl was being something of a problem on Sunday morning worship. She stood up on the pew. She created noise and distraction for other worshipers. "Sit down," her mother said. It did no good. She repeated it several more times. "Sit down, sit down." There's no response from the child. She created more noise and more distractions. Finally, the little girl's mother took her arms and sat her down and put her hand on her shoulder to hold her there. And the little girl was quiet for a few moments. Then she turned and whispered to her mother, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I am standing up on the inside." And that's our problem. Too often, we're standing up on the inside. We bow our heads to God, but not our hearts, not our will. We claim Jesus, but we haven't let Him claim us. We haven't changed our heart and our soul. Are you still rebelling on the inside? Behavior modification is not enough. Allow trusted family and friends to help assess the condition of your soul. Find scripture that encourages your soul. Pray for your soul so that what comes from your heart will not defile you it will bless you and it will bless others. Amen.